Welcome back to Phonics Talk Radio. I am your host, John Peters. Today's podcast is sponsored by Fuji Apples, red, crisp, and delicious. Pick them up at your local Walmart or Kroger's. Today's podcast is also sponsored by Kit Kat. Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar. And our final sponsor of today's show is Wrangler Jeans. Blue jeans that are slimming, relaxing, and stretchable. On today's Phonic Talk Radio, we are having a panel of discussions throughout the class. And on to introduce the panel, it begins with Mr. Jacob Click. Next we have
Sarah McFarland.
Another panelist,
Morgan Maston.
And our final panelist on today's talk show,
Kyle McClellan.
Kyle McClellan, nice to have you again on the show, sir. Today on Phonic Talk Radio, we're going to start off our discussion with the Great Debate. On to discuss the Great Debate will be Sarah. Sarah, discuss the Great Debate and just where you stand.
So the Great Debate is a debate against which is better in the classroom, do you think, phonics strategy or whole language strategy? A couple pros of phonics strategy is it builds better pronunciation, reinforces word recognition, and rules for easier learning. So 2 to 3 cons of phonics strategy is difficulty understanding full text, many rules to remember, and children may see writing as a chore and dislike it. So on to whole language, a couple pros are better understanding of text and more creative and interesting approach to reading. A couple cons of whole language are decreased accuracy in reading, skipped words may never be learned. So where I stand is I think that a combination of both of these is best based on my experiences, because it's one thing to be able to pronounce a word, but to understand it in context is super, and actually knowing the meaning behind it is important. So there are great aspects of both that when combined can raise literacy skills a lot.
Thank you, Sarah. Also on the panel, Ms. Morgan, do you care to jump in on to the Great Debate topic and tell us just where you stand exactly?
Well, I agree with Sarah. I believe that whole language strategy is best based on my experiences and research, because it delivers more direct style of learning. However, I think the best way to teach is by combining the two. In my opinion, phonics should be used for basic instruction while whole language is used for comprehensive instruction.
Thank you, Morgan. So it's kind of the general consensus that it is best to use both phonics and whole language in the classroom. Kyle, where exactly do you stand on the Great Debate yourself?
I think both of them together are better, because you never know what kind of student is going to come to your classroom. Some might be better to use the phonics approach, and some might be better to use the whole language. So really, you just need to fill out your students and figure out which one would suit them best, because as an educator, you have to be flexible, obviously. So whatever way would benefit your students the most, I think that's which one you should lean towards.
Thank you, Kyle. And finally, Mr. Jacob Click on the panel, where do you stand on the Great Debate? Yes, thank you, John. In my opinion, I definitely agree with all the other three panelists, but in my opinion, I believe whole language is the best approach to teach in the classroom. I believe whole language kind of teaches children to learn through their experience and kind of fail and see where they messed up and then go from there. Thank you, Jacob. Very good insight. Next on the discussion panel, we're going to discuss the importance of phonemic awareness. That would be Morgan on that discussion. Morgan, please examine the importance of developing phonemic awareness in children.
It's important for children to develop understanding of phonemic awareness, because when they have phonemic awareness, they understand that sounds of spoken words fit together to make words that those words have meaning. So they understand how sounds fit together to form words.
Thank you, Morgan. Also on to discuss the importance of phonemic awareness. Sarah, can I get your take on this, please?
Yes, phonemic awareness is the student being able to hear the words correctly and not just seeing them. So if a teacher is giving a spelling test or something or reading a book, phonemic awareness is really understanding how to comprehend the words. So that's really important for comprehension and reading, different skills that they need throughout school.
Thank you, Sarah. Jacob, what is your take on this? Yeah, I just believe children that are developing an understanding of phonemic awareness, it's very important because phonemes differ in languages, and it also helps with reading achievement in the classroom. It starts out early. It moves into systematic, direct, explicit, efficient, flexible, and strategic, and then it moves on to extended. So it's just very important to remember to keep this important in your classroom. Thank you, Jacob. Now on to discuss the next point will be, Jacob again, considering the growth of the student and their development in writing, what are the pros and cons of interactive writing? Oh, yes. Thank you, John. Interactive writing, for those listening who do not know exactly what it is where the teacher directs students through engagement of writing lessons in the classroom itself. Interactive writing is very beneficial to student growth and development. It teaches experience. It teaches kids how to pre-write. It shows children that they need to learn to compose in their writing. It extends lessons in the classroom and also teaches kids how to learn to review in the classroom as well in their writing. Phonics and interactive writing are actually interrelated in ways that it makes links to student work. It balances planned and unplanned teaching opportunities, and both value every step of the lesson.
Okay, so a little bit more about interactive writing. So what I have is interactive writing is to mediate students' understanding of what it means to write. Lessons are how-to oriented. Teachers model what students are expected to do during independent writing. So they take what they learn during interactive writing and take it back to their desk so they can use it in independent writing as well. Interactive writing is very beneficial to student growth and development because it gives the students feedback and opportunity to interact with their peers. So while they're in interactive writing, sometimes you would have it, let's say, on your ABC floor rug and everyone's together and you're sitting up there. The students are collaborating, working together to maybe solve how to write a letter. And it demonstrates what good writers do. So you're not only maybe demonstrating how to write a letter, but how to write a good letter, how to start it, how to end it. And phonics and interactive writing are actually interrelated. So this is a powerful medium that allows students and teachers to, end quote, share the pen and demonstrate concepts about print, directionality, and connecting print to speech sounds. So while you're doing interactive writing, not only are you writing, but you're also talking about it or reading what you're writing, so it interacts with phonics as well.
Thank you, Sarah. Morgan, Kyle, is there anything you would like to say about interactive writing?
Another benefit to interactive writing is that it gives students opportunity to share the pen, like Sarah said, with a teacher. So that way, the ideas and different views are being made more available in the classroom. It also lets the classroom be more open to differentiated instruction. And another way that phonics and interactive writing are interrelated is that, similar to phonics, interactive writing makes the writing process more visual to the whole class. And decoding is used in both processes, where the students use their knowledge of letter-sound relationships to accurately read a word.
Thank you, Morgan. Kyle, is there anything you would like to share about interactive writing?
Also with interactive writing, I particularly like group work a lot when it comes to education, because I think sometimes there's a lot of students that might sit back and not pay much attention. And with this, if they're writing in a group or writing with the teacher, they are able to say something that they might feel that might not be the greatest answer to something, but can make something out of nothing.
Thank you very much, Kyle. On to discuss orthographic tools. There are many used in the classroom today, such as word sorts and spelling inventories. Kyle, do you care to share the advantages of monitoring student orthographic development in the classroom today?
Oh, yeah. But first, I'm going to name and describe some of the different word sorts you can use. There's repeated sorts. Repeat a word or picture over several days. Buddy sorts work together to read the words or name the pictures in each column. Blind sorts, keywords or headers are established and a partner or the teacher calls out the word without showing it. The student indicates the answer by pointing to a heading. Writing sorts, just write words. Blind writing sorts, writing the words in a correct category before seeing the word. Speed sorts, doing the word sorts for time as a class activity. Word hunts, hunt through their readings or writing for additional words that are examples of the sorts. The advantages and purpose of these activities, examine words in order to reveal the logic and consistencies within our written language system and help students master recognize spelling, defining, and using specific words. Spelling inventories. Some of the advantages of using spelling inventories is they are quick and easy to score. They are reliable and valid measures of what students know about words. Also with this advantage is that it gives a sense of if there's only a few people messing up on the same part in a spelling inventory or even word sorts, you can relook at maybe how you need to get through to these students. So if one or two students are having these problems, then who's to say there isn't more? So you can go back and maybe reteach the lesson or go through it again.
Okay, and I was going to talk a little about what a spelling inventory is. So a spelling inventory is an assessment that asks students to spell a series of increasingly difficult words to use to determine what features students know or use but confuse, as well as specific developmental stage of spelling. So after you give these assessments, you can score the students' work, and then you can actually tell like exactly where they are in the developmental stages. So Kyle talked about a little bit of advantages of spelling inventories. And so not only are they good and they're easy to administer and score, they're reliable and valid measures of what students know about words. So they're very informational for the teacher. And not only informational for the teacher, but for the student as well, because the teacher will now know what plan to give the student and help identify what stage they're in. So maybe if they're in a lower stage, the teacher knows exactly what to do so they can get them up to the stage that they need to be. And it creates a general picture of the orthographic development.
So kind of the role with word sorting in the word study program is that word sorting is kind of the heart of the word study. It categorizes a fundamental way that human makes sense of, categorizing is a fundamental way that humans make sense of the world. So this allows us to find similarities among various words we encounter.
Yeah, and I believe it's important to note that there are three main types of sorts. You have the sound sorts, pattern sorts, and meaning sorts. And this is also all a part of the word study along with the invented spelling. And I think it's important to note that there are many purposes to word studies, mostly the development of spelling in general, and then the fact that it increases specific knowledge of words itself.
And all of these also fall under the layers of English orthography. Those three layers are alphabetic, pattern, and meaning.
And then another thing is what is invented spelling. We talked about that, and that goes along with word sorts as well. So invented spelling is a kid's best attempt at spelling. Therefore, they try to spell phonetically based on the sounds that each letter makes. So in this, they're also tying in phonemic awareness because it's about what they're hearing when the word is said. So ice cream, a student may spell this word as I-S-C-M because they're hearing those letter sounds, but they don't hear the letters in between the beginning and end sounds of the words because of the different sounds that they can make out. So invented spelling is just the kids, like, you might do a spelling test or something, and maybe a student's having trouble with hearing sounds in between beginning and end. And so they would spell ice cream, as I said, or another word, and they're leaving out the middle letters that make up the sounds that you can't really hear.
Thank you, Sarah. Finally, on today's discussion, we will discuss the spelling stages. On to discuss the emergent stage of spelling is Sarah. Sarah, please tell us about the emergent stage.
So my plan is to teach pre-K through 3 IEP and general education. Obviously, I'm going to pick one of those when I get there, but I'm hoping to really work in an IEP classroom for the first part of my career. And so I may have a second grader if I'm in second grade. I'll have a second grader, and maybe they're a little bit behind. They're not really up to par with what second graders should be on. So they could be in the emergent stage. So if they're reading at the stage, some characteristics, maybe they're recognizing uppercase and lowercase letters and their common sounds. They're developing bank of high frequency words, so their sight words. And when they're writing, some characteristics are they can range from random marks to legitimate letters that bear a relationship to sound, mostly pre-phonetic. There's little direct relationship between what's on the page and the speech sound, so they can't really connect a word or a letter to the sound that it makes. So what does the literacy diet for the emergent stage include? So oral language, concepts, and vocabulary, phonological awareness, alphabet knowledge, letter sound knowledge, what sound each letter makes and being able to identify that, concepts about print, and concepts of word and text. So emergent stage is the first stage of development of readers and writers, and so if they're in second grade and they're at this stage, they're a little lower than what they should be. Beginning of the year, if they're at the end of the stage or middle of the stage, then they're not too far behind. But the goal is to get them up to where they should be.
Thank you, Sarah. I believe it is very necessary to note again what you were saying, how it is definitely important to model how to use writing in centers during this stage, also to provide access to writing materials, and also that students in this stage really rely on the feel of the mouth of the letter coming out. That is very important to them as well. Next on to discuss the within word pattern, we have Morgan. Morgan, please discuss the within word pattern.
So I chose to do within word pattern stage during our projects in phonics. So I kind of already knew a lot about this before we went over it in class. But the characteristics of readers at this stage is that they can read most single syllable words accurately when they read at their instructional level. And they read most 2 and 3 syllable words when there's enough contextual support. Students move from the full alphabetic phase to the consolidated alphabetic phase. They begin to recognize patterns and chunk to analyze unfamiliar words. They're also able to decode and store words most readily, and their sight words vocabulary grows quickly. They're able to read at phases with greater expression. Most finger pointing from the earlier stages disappears, and transitional readers read orally at rates to over 60 words per minute. Lots of reading experience at this stage is crucial. Characteristics of the writers at this stage include that writing becomes more fluent because students know how to automatically spell words. They write with greater speed and less conscious attention. This added fluency gives transitional writers more time to concentrate on ideas. They compose with a better sense of reader's background knowledge, and with a writer, greater complexity in the storyline or informational piece. The orthographic development in this stage focuses on the used but confused vowel patterns. Short vowels, blends, and digraphs are nearly mastered and should only require some review. Phonemic awareness is well developed, and they should be able to isolate the vowel sounds in the middle of words. Students explore the pattern layer of English spelling. They use a variety of spelling strategies. The sequencing and pacing for word study at this stage is that they're early. A student knows blends and digraphs and spell most short vowels correctly. They experiment with silent letters that mark long vowels. They use but confuse when spelling short vowels. If students spell fewer than 2 of the CVCE long vowels correctly, they're probably in the early to middle part of this stage. If they're in the middle part of this stage, students are spelling the vowels with the CVCE pattern correctly, but still make mistakes on less common long vowel patterns, as well as vowels such as the R-influenced vowels and ambiguous vowels. If they're in the late stage, by the end of this stage, students will have mastered the long vowel patterns, but will be making few errors in the other vowels, R-influenced and ambiguous. They will be missing some of the complex consonants studied in the late within word pattern stage.
Yes, thank you, Morgan. I believe it is also important to note the sequence and pacing of word study at this stage is important because it varies based on the area of development. You have the early, middle, and late stages that are very important in this stage. Next on to discuss the letter name alphabetic stage, we have Kyle. Kyle, please share about the letter name alphabetic stage.
Oh, yeah. My major is intervention specialist K-12, and it is very possible that I might meet someone, I might be teaching someone that could be a sophomore in high school and still be at this stage, so it's not that hard for people to get stuck in reading. The characteristics of this reader, stage where students are first formally taught to read, most are 4 to 7. The letter name is a cue to the sound that the letter makes, reads words by word and beginning reading materials, accurate fingerprinting and word knowledge. The characteristics of writers, uses letter names to invent spellings, represents beginning and ending sounds, orthographic development in this stage. Because they have no previous knowledge on how to spell, children carefully analyze the sound system more cautiously than to adults. Sequencing and pacing of word study at this stage: early picture sorts for initial consonants, picture and word sorts for same vowel word families, picture sorts for digraphs, picture sorts for blends, middle word sorts for mixed vowel word families, picture sorts for short vowels, late word sorts with short vowels and CVC words, word sorts for short vowels with blends and digraphs, word sorts for preconsonantal nasals.
Thank you, Kyle. Next on to discuss the syllables and affixes stage, we have Jake. Jake, please discuss the syllables and affixes stage. So being that I am an intervention specialist major, there's a good possibility that being K-12, if I get stuck in a middle school room or even a high school room, it's possible that I could still have a student in the syllables and affixes stage. And there are many characteristics of readers at this stage. They're still expanding reading interests and fine-tuning reading strategies. There's a greater emphasis on content areas, so they're expected to read textbooks. Background knowledge and vocabulary are very critical to comprehension in this stage. At this stage, students are exploring different genres of books. Students are also reading more fluently, so high level of cognitive and language sophistication has great fluency, including phrasing and expression in this stage. Also, many words in memory and learning to use chunks, syllabic and morphemic chunks to figure out words is also important, and an important characteristic of readers in this stage. There are also many characteristics of writers at this stage. Students in this stage who are writing are becoming confident and fluent in their writing. They are able to work on longer pieces over many days. Students can spell more words so they can focus on the meaning they are trying to convey. Students are also developing a voice in their writing and are more aware of the audience they are writing to. They are also expected to revise and edit for spelling and punctuation, so they are able to go back over their papers, see some of the things they've done wrong, and check up on those as well. There's orthographic development in this stage, word sorts and vocabulary. Some word sorts may need further explanation to students in this stage. They may have some students look them up before discussing them. Teaching content vocabulary, engage prior knowledge, explain concept in relationship to other concepts. Graphic organizers, charts, diagrams, examples, and non-examples are included in this stage. Also, in the orthographic development of this stage, there are concept sorts and content learning. Students need multiple exposures. Students sort words by concept related to rather than spelling patterns. Finally, in this stage, there's a sequence and pacing of word studies. Students should be actively involved in the exploration of words during this stage. Students' prior knowledge should be engaged, so they need to be going back to things they have learned before being engaged in this stage already. Students should have many exposures to words in meaningful context. Students need systematic instruction of structural elements and how these elements combine. In the early stages, you have plural endings, unusual plurals, inflectional endings, compound words. In the middle stages, you have open and closed syllables, vowel patterns, and accented syllables, final unaccented syllables, two-syllable homophones and homographs, special consonants, and two-syllable words. And finally, in the late stages of this, you have simple prefixes and base words, as well as simple suffixes. Thank you, Jacob, for discussing syllables and affixes stage. And finally, in the last stage, we have the derivational relation stage. And on to discuss that, we have Morgan. Morgan, please explain.
Okay, so the characteristics for readers at this stage is that that advanced readers can explore Greek and Latin word elements that are important in morphemes out of which thousands of words are constructed. Reading is primary, which means students gain access to these words. The words simply do not occur as often in oral language. They develop an understanding of the meaning layer in orthography quite intensely. They use morphemic analysis. Characteristics of writers at this stage is that proficient writers have the potential to use the forms and functions, structures, and purposes for different genres. Together with their expanding vocabularies, this knowledge of form and function helps to inform their voice or stance, which in turn guides their word choice when they write and revise. Orthographic development in this stage is that error occurs at the syllable juncture and with the vowel and unaccented of unstressed syllables. Specific spelling error characteristics of this stage fall into three main categories. Of the polysyllabic words often have unaccented syllables in which the vowel is reduced at the schwa sound, as in the second syllable of opposition. Several suffixes have different spelling despite similar pronunciations. Other errors occur in the feature known as the absorbed or assimilated prefix. Sequence and pacing for word study at this stage. In the early to middle stages, they have mastered most syllable juncture conventions, including spelling of most prefixes and suffixes, and what happens when they are affixed to bases. Students are still learning how meaning is a clue to spelling unstressed vowels. By the middle phase, the spelling of prefixes and most suffixes are fairly locked in, as are the spellings of most bases and roots across the morphologically related words. In the late stage, most will reach this stage until at least middle school and high school. Students at this phase can spell most new academic vocabulary words correctly when they first encounter them.
Thank you, Morgan, for diving a little deeper into the derivational relations stage. Very nice job. And finally, to wrap up today's show, we're going to have Sarah discuss in a little more broad sense the words their way. Sarah, please explain.
So what does words their way mean? So words their way is a phonics program that furthers the way students learn to spell words. They use hands-on approaches to practice spelling patterns. This allows for manipulation of words and or pictures into different categories. So words their way is the book that we used this semester in phonics, and I think we all can agree that we enjoyed this book, and it gave us a lot of insight and help, and definitely a lot of different activities that we can do with our students. And not only didn't give us a lot of activities, but we use these activities in our class this semester, not only just in phonics and us college students acting like we're younger, participating and playing these games, but also when we went into the classrooms to do our activities, like our word source and stuff like that, we can immediately turn to the book, get ideas, get words in the back of the book, get games, different boards that you could put words on to do a word sort, just different things, a lot of resources in this book that we can not only have used in this semester and use in college, but we can also take it to our classroom to help our students, as it's very informational and gives us a lot of insight. And not only does it give us information and activities, but it gives you exactly the directions and how to evaluate your students after doing those assessments.
And that will wrap up today's Phonics Talk radio show. Once again, on today's panel, we have Sarah McFarland, Kyle McClellan, Morgan Maston, and Jake Click. You all did a tremendous job breaking down this class's work that you've done over the past semester, breaking down the notes you've taken and all the good stuff you've studied. You're all very smart individuals, especially you, Jake Click. Oh, thank you, Mr. Peters. You're so kind. You didn't have to say that. No problem, Jake. Again, we just want to thank our sponsors, Fuji Apples, Kit Kat, and Wrangler Jeans on Phonics Talk Radio. Go out and get yourself a pair of Wrangler Jeans right now, just in time for the holidays. And we will see you again here next week on Phonics Talk Radio.